This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. I'm Caleb Brown. The public's appetite for state-based solutions to political problems has grown dramatically over the past 40 years, if polling data has anything to say. John Samples is vice president and publisher at the Cato Institute and co-author of the new report, Public Attitudes Toward Federalism. What hope is there for a renewed federalism in the United States based upon polling data?
Well, based on what the public wants, I think the possibilities are pretty good in the sense that the public does support both federalism and the idea that state and local governments are pretty good at governance. They're probably better than the federal government on most issues. And so both in terms of the competence of various levels of government and public preference in terms of governance, I think there is fair support and fair hope. Now, whether you can get from here to there in reality, of course, is another question. The public preferences about various issues don't necessarily mean you end up with what the public wants.
Where are some specific areas where the public clearly believes that states are the proper venue for making decisions about certain elements of public policy?
Well, in our recent polling, we found, I and Emily Eakins, a Cato adjunct scholar, found that education, which is a very traditional issue that the public believes should be left to the states, continues to be so, but even more so than in the past. Things like prison reform you don't necessarily think about all the time. Have the public preference for having states deal with it has grown. Issues that are on the public agenda recently, like reform of the drug laws, there's been a growing preference along with a change in outlook on those laws and those issues has been a growing desire that the states rather than the federal government deal with it. Although I have to say on that issue, in a sense, I think the public preferences haven't completely rationalized or become clarified. I think they will in the next 2 or 3 years. It's a somewhat new issue in the sense of having as much topicality as it has.
You're talking specifically about like states like Washington and Colorado,
yeah.
and soon to be Washington, D.C., quite
presumably,
possibly, that
yeah.
will have legal marijuana, and Colorado and Washington have in very public ways butted heads against the federal government.
Right. And what I'm saying is some of the data about that is not wholly clear in the sense that people on the whole, there's a growing trend toward the public taking the state side in those things, but it's not wholly clear at this point. I think it will be over time, and you might see a continuation of this trend toward support for state lawmaking on those issues.
Now, one of the figures that you have here, who should deal with drug reform, 1973 and 2010. In 73, it was 55 to 39 in favor of having the federal government deal with it, and by 2013 that had more than flipped to 61 to 38 in favor of having states be in charge of that. And then with respect to marijuana specifically, 69%, which is more than those who favor the states taking the lead on drug reform, mm-hmm. specifically marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in part that's the time we live in. So in the sense, changing preferences about the issue itself are also fostering and reflecting changes in interest, changes in preferences about who makes the policy, what level of government. Because obviously those changes have come about because you've had a somewhat decentralized policy. It's not – hasn't been clarified completely. It's sort of out there. And if you had a different kind of administration in Washington, and even with this administration, you might just you're going to have conflict. The public seems to be moving toward the states on that, though. And you asked me about other issues. I mean, welfare has been an issue that's long been moving toward the states. Certainly in the 1960s and early 70s, where we're comparing, there was a real the Great Society is a strong push toward a centralized policy on redistribution and poverty programs. But clearly there's been a move toward the states on those issues too.
Now, when the public expresses a preference between the feds and states for making decisions, certainly that's able to, for politicians at least, able to generate a lot of rhetoric. But as you note, that doesn't necessarily translate into an effective devolution of authority from the feds to states.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. And there's a number of reasons for that. Some of it is just, persistence of policies, the tyranny of the status quo, I think. You look back at Ronald Reagan's administration, which was sort of at the front end of this renewed concern for federalism, and he did attempt probably the most radical change in decentralization in late 1982, and it really went nowhere. Part of the reason was you were in the teeth of a steep recession at that point. But even so, I think the problem with it was that state and local officials wanted the power, but they didn't want the responsibility and the difficulty of paying for programs. And that would mean raising taxes or developing better, governance and so on, or cutting programs would be another issue. Those choices would be foisted on them, and they really at that point didn't want that. And I think that's probably still an issue, even though, as you suggest, there'd be a lot of rhetoric about states and so on. I think there still would be that concern about having to take those responsibilities.
Now, there is one group, at least as a political group, in terms of dealing specifically with pollution, but I assume that's a broader trend, and that is Democrats strongly prefer the federal government to state governments to at least deal with pollution control. And what about other issues?
Well, I was surprised in the polling results in the sense that, yes, on many of the issues that you think the Democratic Party and going back to the 60s and afterward were defined by centralizing or nationalizing the issue and bringing it to Washington, a lot of that persists. What did strike me, though, was that in general, if you look at approval or belief in the competence of the federal government, and you break it out by party and by, independent status, what you find is that even a plurality of Democrats don't approve of the federal government. You have independents and Republicans strongly disapprove and also approve more of state and local governments as to competence and who should govern. But even Democrats didn't have a simple majority anymore. In the past, of course, they did, but not anymore for the federal government. So, I would say the big issue over time and through all the political cycles we've gone through since 1973 is what you see is a decline in support, faith, belief, and trust in the authority of the federal government. It was still pretty high, even in the early 70s, and we're in a different era now, and the system doesn't seem to be able to respond to that because we've been centralizing quite a few things.
So there's an inertia that exists that there's no – is there a clear path, at least reading the tea leaves here, that says this is how to sell this for something that clearly – the public clearly wants?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to face for the next couple of decades anyway, a question of both efficiency and waste and government that actually, can be paid for, right? And clearly, people believe they get better value for their money out of state and local governments. They told us that. They've told a lot of pollsters that. There's also the issue of accountability. People feel that the government, in a sense, the federal government, is distant, that they can't control it, that it does things that they don't want done, that elites want done. And again, with state and local governments, there's a clear polling trend that suggests people like it because they feel like they can have some voice in it. So in that sense, I think there's a strong case to be made by politicians. There's As we know here, you and I live in and near the Washington, D.C. area. We know there's a lot of people that make their living here. This area has grown rapidly in the last decade. Those people will be fighting any kind of decentralization. But surprisingly, it happened a lot in the late 80s and 90s. So I think we're due another one.
John Samples is co-author of a new Cato paper, Public Attitudes Toward Federalism. You can download a copy at cato.org.